Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to another Friday night with on the Six Eyes Radio Network with AJ and the Squad and the Queen's Court on Friday, April the 28th, 2023, the last Friday of April. So we're about ready to say goodbye, April. But starting off, as always, a prayer by Evangelist Clayton.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Our Father who are in heaven, holy will be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for meeting us right here at this appointed time, God. And Lord, we repent, God, and ask of your forgiveness, God, of anything said, done, omission, commission, to grieve or displease you, God, in any way, form or fashion, God. We ask, Lord, that you will forgive us, God. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities, God, and create in us a clean heart and renew that right spirit within thee, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus tonight, God, over every situation, every circumstance, God. We plead the blood of Jesus tonight, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we just want to come to you, God, as humble as we know how, God, to just give you the praise, to give you the glory, because of who you are, God, all by yourself, Father God. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for how you woke us close in our right mind this morning. You let no hurt, harm, or danger come near our dwelling, God, as we slept, slumber, tossed, and turned that on last night, God. And you met us, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. You met us, God, in the name of Jesus, God, in ways, God, that's unspeakable, God, like only you can, God. And, Lord, we just want to tell you, thank you, Father God. Thank you for meeting us right here on Six Eyes Radio Network with AJ and the Squad in Queens Court, God. Thank you for every listening ear, God. Thank you for the speaker tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you have your way, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, and testify to the goodness of you, Father God, like only you can, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We bless your holy name, Father God, for Brother AJ being back, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, sounding, God, as a sound of timbre and dancing instrument, God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, God, because nobody can do it just like you did, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, how you administer, Father God, your medicine, God, how you took care of the man of God, Father God, how you reached way down, Father God, and you showed up and you showed out, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. And Lord, we just want to tell you, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being God all by yourself, God. Thank you, Father God, for our children and our children's children. Thank you for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Thank you for those, Father God, that have living mothers and fathers, Father God, and those, Father God, mothers and fathers that are going on, Father God, to the resting place, God. And we thank you, Father God, for being God all by yourself, Father God. We want to thank you, Father God, for ordering our steps to from far and near, Father God. We give you the glory and we give you the praise, Father God. We want to thank you, Father God, for every coverage tonight, Father God. We want to thank you for every Q and A tonight, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Father God, for how you kept us in the storm, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, for how the storm brewed in the state of Florida, Father God, and various other states, Father God. We know, God, that you, Father God, is in the storm with us, God. We know you are our way maker, our bridge over troubled water, Father God. We know, God, that without you, God, we can't do anything, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, we give you all of the glory and all of the honor, God, for you massage in the hearts of those, Father God, that loved one that's gone to their resting place, Father God. We know you are able, God, to do it, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless thee financially, spiritually, psychologically, mental, and emotionally, Father God. Do it like you said that you would, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. You perform miracles above all we ask or we think, Father God, And we thank you for our breakthroughs and our miracle, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for our healing and deliverance, Father God, tonight, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we give you all of the glory and all of the praise, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, we ask, Lord Jesus, if it be thy will, Father God, to let thy will be done, Father God. We thank you for your love that has lifted us tonight, God. For you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son, God, that we shall have a right to the tree of life tonight, God. Because this life that we live is not our own, Father God. The love that we give for you so loved the world, Father God. We just want to thank you, God, for meeting you right here, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we belong to you, Father God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, you are our way maker, Father God. You are our bridge tonight, Father God. You are our map quest tonight, Father God. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the direction, God, leading and guide us, God. You gave us the basic instructions, Father God, before leaving earth tonight, God. God, we give you all of the glory and all of the praise, God. We thank you, Father God, for every school, God. We thank you for every teacher, every faculty member, God. We thank you for every workman in the kingdom of God, Father God. We thank you for every volunteer, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, for taking care of your children, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We thank you, Father God, for meeting us right here at this appointed time, God. And Lord, that you be pleased, God. You get the pleasure out of it, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for using thee, Father God, finding us worthy, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to be on this radio program tonight, God. We thank you, God, for how you have been our guide and light and being the driving force in our life. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue to carry us higher heights and deeper depths, Father God, and that we continue to grow in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. In all things, God, you say get an understanding. And we thank you for that tonight, God. And Lord, when we go on the last mile of the way, Father God, please, Heavenly Father, give us a home in thy kingdom, God, where we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant, work that are well done. Thank you for the massage tonight, God, for you are able to do it all. And we count it already done. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, that we ask and pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for that. Again, welcome to the Success Radio Network with Adriana Squad and the Queen's Court. Sit back and relax. See what we got for you, because you know we always got something great. So sit back, relax, and see what we have just for you.
Sitting here just watching my TV here. That's good TV here. Going on. Look at that fellow there. He looks like he a little bit drunk. Oh, Lord, he's coming my way. He's coming my way. There he go, going upstairs. I can spit that dunk anytime. Here he is. It may open up, Mike. Hey there, Fanny, you look like, Fanny, you kind of got there. Come here. Let me help you through the couch here. I sure appreciate that. Oof, man, your breath smells straight like alcohol, right? Wait, what you been drinking there, fella? Here, sit down. Now, you don't know any drink. Why you drinking?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm drinking because I don't feel that well anymore. My wife left me for another man.
There's it said there, fella. There's no reason to drink.
Yes, there is.
Hey there, fella. Let me get you some coffee or something. Now, sober you on up. And we can talk about this here thing.
Okay.
Now, here you go. Check out a little bit of this.
You ain't got any gin to put in that coffee.
You need to drink that regular stuff right there. Come on. Now, tell me what's going on. How is your mental right now?
Well, it's pretty done. F up. Yeah. I tell you what happened. I lost my job. Yeah. I lost my wife. Yeah. The new girlfriend just been beating on me. Yeah. Left and right. They took my kids from me. Yeah. And I don't know what to do. I just think I would have killed myself.
Hey there, Phil. It's no need to think like that there now. Come here. Let me talk to you for a second. Let me dial this here number here and get you some help. Matter of fact, let me dial 911 and get you some help there, Phil.
Okay. What are you doing tonight?
Well, I tell you what, this is one of a show here, you know. You probably don't really need help, but I'm going to get the attention of somebody to get you some help and get you got a point set up for you. In the meantime, you know, it's about almost 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and I watch this nice little wonderful show on the phone here and on live network.
What that is?
Well, it's good for fellas and ladies that has to get people help, and people tell their stories and stuff like that, and they encourage one of them. The main thing they do is talk about how you show them.
Do they all drink together?
No, it's nothing like that. I mean, they probably drink someplace else, but it's nothing like that. You know, it's a group of people. We just get together and we all fellowship, and you know, we listen to things to one another, and you can ask them some things and tell them about what you're going through, and they find resources and things like that to get you some help. And I got to say a number for one of the shows one day.
So what television channel is it?
Well, it's not a television channel. It's a podcast on the 6 Eyes Radio Network with AJ and the Squad.
AJ and
AJ and the Squad.
Okay. Like, how do I listen to that?
Well, what you got to do here, you take your telephone. You got your cell phone? Okay, now put this number here. 424.
524.
243.
243.
9617.
9617.
And see it back there, it's like 15 minutes to the show, or right there at 9 o'clock p.m., you dial in that air number, and you see things, you'll see Rock Talk Radio. And the show will begin in a certain amount of seconds, or my show might be already in progress. Yep, these people here help you out real good.
Okay. So I just come on it.
And I see, it's a little extra instructions. At a given point in time, that lady there named Queen, yeah, she said, if you want to, you know, discuss your mental and ask any questions, you press that one. And that's when you press that there one, and it say you have entered the circus cube. And she lets you know you're on mute, and you just say, may I? Or can I say something? You know, and they'll let you speak at the appropriate time. And they'll get you some help and just ask them. Tell them what's going on in your life. It's some wonderful people that encourage you.
Oh, what kind of people are on there?
Well, you know, it's various people from North Carolina, Tallahassee, Florida, Alabama, Virginia, Illinois, Ohio, and South Carolina. Those Alabama people, yeah, they real good folks. I'm telling you now. You gotta try.
What if I don't want to dial in? I don't want nobody, you know.
Well, I tell you another way you do it. If you got that there Facebook, do your Google search, either put in AJ in the Squad, it's a link, it goes straight to them. Sign up on that there page and watch them live. Leave a comment or two if you want to. You know, get folks, I'm telling you.
Okay. Maybe I'll try.
In the meantime, I'm going to call this here number and get you a doctor appointment scheduling soon and help you out with this here depression and let the kids know. And anytime you're going through something, buddy, make sure you just call me. You don't have to go sit there and drink yourself to death like that. Now, the Bible did say you can drink, but you ain't supposed to get drunk. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, anytime, buddy. Anytime. Let me call you.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of AJ and the Squad. Along with the Queen's Court here, on the Six Eyes Radio, Radio Network,
I'm broken, broken again. Oh, broken, broken again. I'm broken, broken again. Oh, broken, broken again. Looking through my eyes, do you see it? I just need something to believe in. 'Cause I don't even trust myself. Last week I tried to kill myself. No one knows what it's like putting up a fight for your life every time. Now I'm losing sight. Wish that I had a way to make me feel alive. I don't wanna die. Trying not to fall away, I struggle just to stay awake. I don't want to feel this pain. Can you take it all away? Can you make me feel okay? Won't you leave my mind astray? Just anything to keep me safe.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
That was an awesome
good
song.
Evening. Good evening.
Gosh. Ooh. All right. Let's get some of these mics open. Welcome, everybody. Hello. All right. We got 803. Your mic is open. Thank you for joining us. And we have a 434. Your mic is open. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. I really enjoyed that song. What was the name of it again?
Wasn't that nice?
It was called Broken by Eli.
Broken by Eli. Okay, that was a really nice song.
That was nice.
Yes,
so hello, everybody. How is everybody?
Hello. Welcome. Good evening, everyone.
Hi. Thank you, Evangelist Clayton and AJ and Two Piece for an awesome, awesome opening, as always. And I am dying to say, welcome back, AJ. Yay.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Glad to be back.
Oh, glad to have you back, sir.
Don't be a beast. Oh, my
Sounding
goodness.
Sounding better than ever. All right. I'm just saying. All right. I think I got all the mics open. Remember, if you want your mic open, just press 1. And you come talk to us. We're dying to hear what you have to say. And if not, then we would like to do our buddy check, as always, and check on everybody, make sure you are okay. And as we always say, it's okay not to be okay. Just tell somebody. And I am the queen from North Carolina, and I'm okay now. I'm okay now. I wasn't okay. I just had a very, very trying week. Very trying. Very busy, but productive. I got through it. I'm here at my squad. I'm here at my king. I'm here with the 6 Eyes Radio Network. And I'm good. I'm good. So I thank God for everything he's done for me and how he's kept me. And I pray that he will continue to do the same for each and every one of you. And I am complete.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And honor to God, the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I can't do anything without him. I can't say anything. I can't do anything without him. But I'm Evangelist Clayton, and I hail out of the state of Tallahassee, Florida. And I just tell God thank you for who he is. God is so awesome, and he's so amazing. I just give God the praise and honor. I thank God, amen, for my doctor's appointment this week. I thank God, amen, for, amen, a pleasant report on yesterday. Amen. Like only God can. Like only God can.
Amen.
Amen. He gives us the doctors. Amen. But only God can do what he does. And my physician had no complaints about anything. Anything. Mm. And I tell you, that's more than $1 billion in the bank. Amen. To God be the glory. When you don't leave with something that the doctor wants you to do or put something that they're changing or your medicine. But I'm just so grateful, amen, of the report. Who report are we going to believe? The report of the Lord. So I'm just grateful. I tell God, thank you. Amen. My mentor is ecstatic. Amen. To God, before we had a storm, severe storm here in the state of Florida. Amen. To God be the glory. Some don't have power at these hours, and some can't get out of their home and can't get in their home, and power lines are down here. Amen. But through it all, God is still in charge of our life, and God still kept us, have no fatalities. Amen. But he is our way maker, and he will show us, amen, that we can survive and provide, even in times like this, that we can survive and provide. So I give God the praise and honor. And I'm just here, amen, on one of the hottest radio shows in the nation, AJ and the Squad in Queens Court on 6 Eyes Radio Network. And it's so grateful to be here with you and you and you and you and you. So I'm grateful. And I tell God, thank you. Our children are doing well, doing well. And just thank God, amen, for what God is doing, has done, is doing, and will do. And we continue to stay focused and stay grounded in him. I'm completed. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank
Any
you.
More queens? Any more queens? Step up.
Good evening. Well, excuse me.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. This is Destiny, and I'm just coming through to do my little mental check. This week has been a week that I really didn't know, really couldn't quite put my finger on it. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I just knew I wasn't right mentally and knew something was wrong. And then I realized that tomorrow my mother has been gone from here on earth for 5 years, and that's tomorrow. So I always get a little down around March when it's the anniversary of death, and I guess God got tired of me saying it, so he took it in April. But I realized that she's better off because she had dementia, and she knew all of us up until the very end, which I'm thankful for, because a lot of people do roaming and a lot of people do a lot of stuff with dementia and Alzheimer's. They do a lot of roaming and running around and not remembering who you are. So I just thank God that God gave us a chance to be with my mother for as long as we were able to be here with her. And I thank God that he gave us a chance for her to still remember us up until the end. I love y'all, I miss y'all, and I'm glad to be on here tonight.
Amen.
We're so glad to have you. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Thank you.
May God continue to bless you. Any more queens? Any more queens? Remember to press 1 if you would like to talk to us. We want to talk to you, so come talk to us. Wait, hold up. 336, your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. Hello,
hey,
hello
honey.
To everyone out there. I just want to say hello to each and every one of you. And I just want to say that I hello. It's all right, you know, not nothing bad, not nothing too bad, but all right week. I had an all right week. And I just want to say that I thank God for it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, because we have to go through in order to know how to come out of it and be able to be able to tell somebody else about it and somebody else about it, because so much going on in this world today, so much going on. And if we, you know, don't being through it, we can tell somebody about it so they'll know about it when they go through it. Yeah. They won't have a hard time as you had. So, you know, it's good to, you know, share what you have, because a lot of times we keep stuff inside and we don't want to tell people. And it's something that really could hurt, help the next person. So, you know, let's stop holding stuff inside and let go, because if we let go, then, you know, we can be a lot better. We keep a lot of stuff inside, and that's what stops us from a lot of our blessings, because we hold stuff inside. And when you hold stuff inside, it's easy for you to come off on the person a wrong way, because you've been holding stuff in so long that you forget about it, you know, and you get bitter about it. So just stop holding stuff in and stop being bitter and, you know, just give it all to God, because God told us to cast it all on him. Cast it all on him and leave it there. And if we do exactly that and leave it there and don't bring it back with us, we'll be better off. So I just want to just say I thank God for it all. Thank God for the challenges and the trials and tribulations, because we have to go through to know how to come through it. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
That was Miss Friday Joy. She's also, you can catch her on Saturday nights with DJ ATL and Six and the crew, Queen Nye, Queen Friday Joy, and Queen Nicole. Saturday nights at 11:30 right here, same place, same channel. Thank you, Miss Friday Joy.
Thank you.
Any other queens in the house? Okay, we'll move on to our kings. Any kings in the house? Wait a minute, got something right here. 850, your mic is open.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Cindy Lockley and Leslie Lockley from Tallahassee, Florida. I just want to give thanks to God for in advance for all he's doing for each and every one of us. And I'm very grateful for this day, and I'm very grateful. I have a lot of gratitude in my heart, too, for another day. And even though a lot of things are going on in this world today, you know, we just need to be grateful that, you know, we see all these things and hear all these things, but it's not good. But we just got to remember that God is always good. And I thank God for the unconditional love and for the faithfulness that the faithful love we have for each and every one of us. And I thank God that AJ is back. He's sounding good. It seems like he's doing well. We've been praying for him.
Amen.
Thank God for Six Eyes Radio Station Network, and we really enjoy it. And let's pray my husband's strength in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lockleys.
I bless you.
Any other kings? All mics are open. Any other kings?
Anyone else?
Yeah,
well, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing pretty good, dear. You know, stay fine, bed.
But I'm just 2 feet from South Carolina. My mental check is really good. You know, I just go crazy with different voices, having fun all week. Going out there motivating kids and still standing up for them. Mental did start off kind of strange on Monday, but it got better. You know, got a little frustrated on how to do my countdowns and, you know, stuff I work with Ava 2 counseling with, how to calm myself down very quickly. But I'm just glad to be in the number of this time. I give God a praise for everything he's doing in my life, everything he's doing in everybody's life, you know. So I just stay prayed up and hope that y'all stay prayed up as well. You know, just have a good show. Can't wait for the speaker tonight.
Yeah, sure can. Just get ready.
Yeah, let's be quiet.
Okay.
Eight two eight, your mic is open.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
How are
you? How y'all doing?
There's
my twin out here.
What's up, twin?
My birthday coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. You better tell them. It's them in our power.
I know that's right.
How you been, Devin?
Oh, I am writing a story about my life.
Okay.
Mm.
That's definitely going to be a bestseller.
Amen.
And I am hosting something in June the 10th. High Muffin Center, where my son got killed. I'm hosting a memorial for Victim Awareness Month.
Okay.
And I was wanting people to bring tennis shoes in for every murder victim that they know, but we can line it up and see how many people, you know, pay our respects and see how many people we know.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Amazing.
That's
amazing. Amen.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I miss y'all.
We miss you too.
Miss
glad
you
too.
Yeah.
No coincidence that you are here tonight.
She said Dominique is put up.
You put Dominique up for now?
Yes, Latoya and Jasmine out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't met Jasmine. I ain't met Latoya yet.
Latoya's the lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, Latoya thinks she's all the law and stuff. Jazz is the one, she's like sort of bougie, like to dress up and think
she's
cute.
Okay. She is. She's beautiful.
Amen.
Well, my personality is going to need some help.
But you hear you, Jasmine.
I know, right?
Yeah, definitely. You hear.
Personalities always get in trouble. Need Latoya for help.
Well, Jazz will tell the judge they wrong.
Well.
So, yeah.
Be down a little bit of that.
Great.
So I will hope to see some of y'all there June the 10th. I'm going to have flyers, too.
You know, I'll definitely be there.
Okay, I will have some flyers.
And if I'm there, that means the whole squad is going to be there. So
I know that. And I will see y'all
there. This platform is open, and please use the platform. Please use the platform as you see fit to help you with anything you have going on.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I have a lot of more going on. They have not seen me yet.
I know, that's right. You better tell them.
I'm about to come in like a phoenix.
Get them, Jasmine. Get them.
You are dirty. I see. No coincidence. That is for sure.
I love her.
Y'all. She loves
you too.
Love you too, baby.
Y'all have a good night. That's my grandbaby in the back.
Hey,
so
grandbaby.
Love you too, baby.
She's singing her ABCs.
You have a blessed evening.
Y'all do too.
All
and
right.
I'm always
good night, baby.
Meet me also.
Thank you. I'll definitely get in touch with you soon.
Okay.
All right, baby.
All right.
828, your mic is open. How's your mental? Your mic is open. How's your mental? Don't be scared. Oh.
I'm not scared. Have you already done the introduction?
No, we actually still going over mentals right now. You want to tell us how your mental is today? How are you feeling today?
I'm fine. I saw two patients today. Friday is my half day
So I usually work from 8 to 12. Had two very good sessions, and I'm fine. I'm a little tired. This is kind of the time when I'm winding down after my my Monday through Friday, all of my, you know, being a therapist can be mentally draining at times.
Right.
Adult emotions are a lot harder than kid emotions, believe it or not. And so this has been the week when everybody I have seen has been an adult, and I haven't really seen any of my kids this week. So it's been a lot. But I will say, you know, to God the glory, because he always gives me what I need when I need it, and he always gives me the words for my patients. So I can't complain. I'm doing just fine.
That is Ms. Kiyoshi. Will be our speaker. We'll get back to her in just a second and hear more from her. Let's finish opening up these mics. 205, your mic is open.
Well, good evening, right, ladies and gentlemen. And Jesus, I am so pleased to be with you. And I'm so glad to have AJ back on the scene.
Yes.
And I am the Godfather, reporting live from the Godfather Daily News. How sweet is it?
How sweet
is it? Sweet.
Yeah.
Any more kings? Any more kings?
That's not everyone.
Anybody, anybody. Yep, just all the mics.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to try to get through this. This is AJ calling out of Cleveland, Ohio. I'm glad to report that my mental is, I would say, in a stable place right now. It's taking me a minute to get back to that, but it is what it is. Emotionally, however, I am going through a lot of things. The month of April, if I had to define it, I think Evander Clayton gave me the word. April has been a month of understanding for me. This was the month that I got a phone call, and I was told that my mother passed away. And recently, a couple of weeks ago, around the same time that I received that phone call, in 2020, I believe, I became very, very, very sick. I was in a very dark place. Very, very dark place. And I really thought I was going to die. I really did. But my God is great. And he brought me out of that darkness.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I told Queen, you know, me and God have been going back and forth. God, what is it? What? Talk to me. I already knew the answer. But I was looking for God to give me confirmation, reassurance.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I received all that today.
Thank you.
I'll get back to that. But I received all of it today. And so I'll go back to, I was, once again, just a couple of days ago, taken into a different dark place where I found myself very, very angry, very upset. And it doesn't matter why, but it happened. And once again, God, why? God, what are you trying to tell me? What do you need me? What do you want me to understand? And so, like I said, it's been a month of understanding. It all came together today. Our guest, Miss Shakita, she chose two songs. And those two songs were my reassurance, were my confirmation from God to the answers that I said I already knew. But like I said, God works in mysterious ways. And the two songs that she chose tonight, literally each song, word for word, was if God had told her to tell me, you already know. You already know. And so because of that, I feel like she has given me a gift. Because now I am, like I said, I am focused because for a moment I had lost my focus. I had forgot what I was here for. I forgot my purpose.
Thank you.
I have made a lot of promises to a lot of people. And I've kept every one of those promises except one. And that promise was to myself. There are people who have dishonored and disrespected my mother. There are people who have taken and are keeping something that is rightfully mine and belongs to me and my family. And I have been putting in so much work and focus and dedication and blood, sweat, and tears to making sure that I have kept my promise and my word to everybody, friends, family, Mr. Six, Six Eyes Radio Network, to the squad, to the queen, to my son, and to my God most of all. And so, like I said, tonight, even with Javelin, Miss Javelin being here tonight, like I said, because it's about testimony. It's like she said, she's writing her book. And I was on that path. I was on that track. And I stopped writing my book, my story, my testimony, my truth, to make sure that there were other things that I felt needed to be put in place. And I feel that those things are secure. Those things are good. Those things are all right. But if something happens to me, no one will know the truth. No one will know what happened. No one will know. And that is my promise, because I promised, I vowed to make sure that there will be a reckoning. There will be, people will know what happened. People will know the truth, my story, and my testimony. So, like I said, it's been a very hard month. It's been a very rough month, dealing with and understanding that, you know, this is the month that I got the call that my mother passed away, and everything that I've gone through, almost literally losing my life this month, finding myself in dark places and being, losing a focus for a minute, feeling confused and feeling lost. And all along, I wasn't. I was just, like I say, blinded for a minute. Like I say, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, and now I'm found. And like I said, I am back on track. I am back to my meaning, to my purpose, and what I'm here for. You know what I'm saying? Because in the beginning, I had a plan for this platform. And even though everything that is on this platform is good, it's beautiful, it's miraculous, it's all the union and the work of God, but at the end of the day, this platform was given to me to make sure that the promise I made to myself was kept. And this is why God has made this platform, the squad, the Six Eyes Radio Network, and everything going on the network available to me. So, I'm so grateful to be a child of God. I'm so grateful to be in His favor. I am so grateful to have Six Eyes Radio Network, Mr. Six, Queen, the Squad, and this platform and this opportunity to be able to do what it is I'm meant to do, my purpose. And so I understand with the time that I have left, I will be mindful, and I will not forget what my time, the time I have left, what it is supposed to be for. Because like I said, I have kept every promise. Every promise, everything I said I was going to do, I've done it. And there's only one promise left to keep, because I have a family, and I want to be around for my family. I do. And also, I want the truth to be known, so that if something does happen to me, I understand that'll be God's will and God's time, but at least I know someone will know what happened. That part right there. So I just want to say I can't wait for the show tonight. Ms. Shakita, I'm thankful God is working through you, and you gave me a gift of reassurance And like I say, I'm excuse my French, but I'm back on my shit, period. And with that, I'm complete.
AJ.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
This is Destiny. I'm sorry. But it's a song that Glenn Maurice always sings. And I'm just going to tell you this. What God has for you, it is for you.
It is for you.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
I tell Mario that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What God has seen is to you.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love to you, AJ. I've in our time of getting to know each other and developing what we're developing, I have watched a man who has shown a heart of passion, a heart of determination, a heart of gratitude, and for you to be such a strong man,
yeah,
and to be able to make yourself as vulnerable as you do, that just shows who you really are. And I thank God every breath I have that you are in my life, in the capacity that you are in it. And you talk about promises, and if I step out on one and forget, please reel me back in and remind me. But as I told you, I'm with you all the way, and I mean that. And the fight that you fight, and the things that you do, and the strength that you show others, I know a lot of things I could have made through without you. So I thank God for you. I hope I've been as good to you as you've been to me, and I look forward to seeing what else we can do. Where else we're going to go, because as I say, I'm with you all the way. So.
Amen.
I love it.
I appreciate you.
I just want to say this too. AJ, you know, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about Evangelist Clayton loving on you. Amen. And keeping you lifted up before the Lord. But sister, definitely, you struck something. Amen.
Yes.
To God be the glory. And I just want you to know, Brother AJ, what God has for you, it is for you. I know without a doubt that he will bring you out. What God has for you, it is for you. It is. For you, it is for you. I know without a doubt that he will bring you out. What God has for you, it is for you. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And this is just a finished touch. This is just the beginning. You ain't seen nothing yet.
About to say that.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
Yep.
God has for you with your name engraved in it.
Yes.
Amen. And your companion and all those connected, affiliated, and related. What God has for you, AJ, it is for you. No doubt. You know too much about it. You are who God says that you are. And you can have because faith allows you to. You are a believer and not a doubter. And you are God's royal priesthood. You are the head and not the tail. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Be blessed. And Evangelist Clayton said that. A woman of purpose, purple rain,
amen.
And I ain't tripping because God ain't through with you yet.
Anybody else got anything? Okay. Before I introduce our guest, I just want to do some housekeeping. First of all, you will be
All right, baby.
You will hear yourself going on mute here in a minute. That is just to give respect to our guest so she can have the proper flooring. Once she has spoken, you will be taken off mute to be able to make comments or questions if you like. And I just, before I get started, I want to say happy birthday to my coworker and good friend, Miss Keena Proctor.
Happy birthday.
So happy birthday to you, Miss Keena.
Happy birthday.
And
happy birthday, baby.
And when I tell you guys about a teacher with a purpose, she loves her kids. And she's been in the school system for 30, maybe 31, 32 years or so. But she is a phenomenal teacher. The kids sung to her today in the cafeteria. She just brightens up any room and sings like a songbird. But I just want to say happy birthday, Ms. Keena. I don't know if you listen or not, but I love you. Keep up the good work. I want to get that out there. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce our speaker for the evening, Ms. Shaquita Hill, originally from Asheville, North Carolina, who now works in Statesville, North Carolina. She is a licensed clinical psychiatrist, social worker, and she is just awesome. She has a passion for our young people as well as the adults, but you can tell her passion is for the young people, definitely. So after this next selection, you hear from our award-winning producer, Mr. AJ. The next verse you will hear will be that of Ms. Shaquita Hill. So we will welcome her. We will give her God's blessings. And may that God be upon her and give her what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. So you will now hear yourself going on mute.
I don't get your money, please. I just...
Well, you better give me my money.
I like it. I am.
You're listening to AJ and the Squad, along with the Queen's Court here on the Six Eyes Radio, Network.
I love you,
Tuesday. Tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
Just lift your hands up high for me.
He will provide. Yes, he will, yes, he will. Just know he has his hand on. Sometimes you feel so alone, like a child lost and no home. They keep telling you to be strong, but you say, when we
He Has His Hands on You by Marvin Sapp.
Thank you for that, AJ. And now I present to you Miss Shakita Hill from North Carolina, our speaker for the evening.
Thank you so very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me just say that, number one, it is a pleasure to be here. So thank you, number one, for inviting me on your show. I'm looking so forward to this. As Queenie said, I'm Shakita Hill, formerly from Asheville, North Carolina. I now reside in Troutman, North Carolina with my husband and my two children. So to truly understand how I got to be a licensed clinical social worker, you have to understand where I came from and the twists and turns that my life took. So I will tell you that I am the oldest of four, three living. I have two brothers, and I would have had a baby sister who died a few months after she was born. So my mom died when I was 14. And when my mom died, I was currently living with my grandmother in Asheville, and my mom had moved to Florida with my two brothers and her high school sweetheart. So the plan was for me to join them after I finished eighth grade. But in March of 1991, a few days after my grandmother's birthday, which is March 24th, coincidentally, my grandmother got a call saying that my mom was in the hospital and she wasn't well. So we traveled to Florida, and I got to see my mom. She did not resemble my mom because she had lost a lot of weight. And so very shortly thereafter, she died. And I remember saying to my first cousin, who was more like a sister to me, Sherry, who has since passed on, after my mom died, I said, "Who's going to take care of us?" And she said, "Granny will, and I will help." In Asheville, continued to live with my grandmother. But the life that I knew prior to my mom dying and the grandmother that I had before, she became somebody else. She turned into somebody that I did not know. And it was not until I really got into mental health and got my master's and did some field work and started to look at things that I understood that I don't know what losing two children in 2 years did to her. I remember my grandmother always saying, a mother is never supposed to bury her children. It is her children's job to bury her. Well, she buried my uncle in 89, and then she buried my mom in 91. So my grandmother became physically and verbally abusive. And she said to me on one occasion, if she died, it would be because it was her time to go and not because I killed her like I had killed my mom. That crushed me. I still remember that conversation to this day. I still carry that with me. At the time, I was 14 years old. I could not understand what would make her say that I had done that to my mom. I systematically went about making sure that I never gave my grandmother a moment's worry, that I went to school, I did what I was supposed to do, I came home, I did my chores, I was a good student. And for all intents and purposes, I was a good child, but it didn't matter. And the way that my grandmother handled me was not the same way that she handled my brothers. And so I feel like in some ways my grandmother was more partial to boys. And that's fine, but at the time as a kid, I didn't get it and I didn't understand it. So from 14 to 17, I lived with my grandmother's cruelty, and it was very cruel. At 17, I met a guy, fell in love with him and his mama and his dad. And I remember my grandmother saying to his mom, you can have her if you want her. And his mom, who is my godmother to this day, said, I will take Shakita if you don't want her because she is a sweet girl. And I don't have a daughter, and I really would love to have one. But in that next breath, my grandmother said, oh, no, you can't have her. She's still mine. What I believe my grandmother wanted her to say was, no, I don't want her. But that's not what she said. So we were together for 5 years. When I broke up with him, I didn't break up with his parents. His mom is my children's grandmother. She is my mom. She is my husband's mother-in-law, but he just calls her mom. She is everything to me. And the woman that you see before you is because of the Lord and because she loved me and continues to love me. So I went off to college, and it didn't work out. I didn't get to stay. I had to come back home because my grandmother got sick. Now, considering the way that I had been treated, you would think that I would have just not come back home to help take care of her, but I would have stayed at school. But that's not who I was. It's not who I am to my heart. And I still am kind to people even when they are not nice and kind to me. So I came home. I helped take care of my grandmother. I had my daughter in 2003. I was in school at Shaw University. I continued to go to school. I never stopped. I had her. I kept going. I kept pushing. My bachelor's degree is in sociology and criminal justice. I then got pregnant with Simeon in 2006, but my sister and my grandmother, my sister's husband and my grandmother died in January of 2005 for my grandmother and June of 2005. So the person who had previously always held me and told me that things were going to be okay when somebody died, she was gone. So there was nobody else to tell me that it was going to be okay. So I had to figure things out for myself, figure out a plan for myself, decide what I wanted to do with my life. If you had asked me what I intended to do with my life, I always was going to be a lawyer. And after I had my daughter, my mom and my godfather, who is now gone, it'll be 13 years that he's been dead this November 28th, said to me that they would keep Naya and I could still go to law school. But when I had Simeon, my mom and my dad set me down and said, you have to have a different plan. We cannot take care of two small children. This is not going to work. So I started working at the Hill Street Baptist Church, which was my church for a long time and still is my church, at the Learning Center with CC Avery Weston, one of my very good friends that I love very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids are my first love. I started there, and then I started doing some one-on-one work. I worked for North Carolina Mentor, and I continued to work with kids. And then after I had Simeon, I had a kid, and something very traumatic happened to her. And it hurt me to my heart. And I said, if I can change it from the other side so that kids don't have to go through this, I will go and I will work with the adults. So in 2006, I stopped working with kids and started working with adults. Discovered that I didn't like it as much. It's okay now, but then it wasn't. And then I decided that I had gone as far as I could go with a bachelor's degree, and I wanted my master's. And after I had Simeon, he got sick March of 2007, and he has complications from meningitis that went undiagnosed by the hospital as well as his pediatrician. And so my child literally died. He died. They brought him back to life, but he did die. And it was not until one eye deviated more than the other that they figured out that it was meningitis. So Simeon spent from March of 2007 until September of 2007, living in the PICU at Mission Hospital. There are amazing nurses there, amazing doctors. He got amazing care. And I look back on that time now, and I know that God shielded me from realizing that it was bad as it really was, because I didn't. When I was in the middle of it, I didn't realize I was in the middle of it, and I didn't realize how sick it is. And I will tell you that God has always had his hand on my life. And even in my toughest and lowest moments, I've always known who I am and whose I am, and that I know and love the Lord, and I know that he knows my name, and I belong to him. So no matter what is going on, that never changes. So fast forward to a neurologist speaking over Simeon, telling me that what I was looking at was as good as it was going to ever get, and that he would never really know that he was in the world and all of these other things. And I told him, I said, but according to your textbook, he should be dead. And he said, huh? I said, according to your textbook, he should be dead. So that tells me that you aren't God and you don't have the final say. And he's like, well, I mean, I guess if you want to look at it that way, there is no, I guess if I want to look at it that way, that's the way I look at it. You are not God, and you do not know. So if you can't stand with me and touch him and agree with me that the best is yet to come and that God still performs miracles to this day, I don't want you grieving over my child. So we got rid of him. Got another neurologist who said that it wasn't a matter of, if Simeon would walk, it would be a matter of when. It wasn't that he wouldn't do these things, that he wouldn't be able to feed himself, that he wouldn't be able to run and walk, that he would. It just was going to take a little bit longer. I can tell you now that Simeon is 16 years old. He is walking. He is running.
He can feed himself. He is my living, breathing, walking, running miracle. He's not talking to me yet, but I am still believing God for that. I'm still waiting for the manifestation of his talking to me. So if you know and love the Lord like I do and you believe and you pray, then I urge you to stand in agreement with me. So fast forward to I tried to get a master's, but Simeon got sick. And he would end up back in the hospital. And so I would have to stop what I was doing to be able to take care of him. I remember in 2012, at the beginning of 2012, I said, and I remember putting this post up on Facebook, I'm going to get lost so that my husband can find me. Because the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That was the beginning of 2012. December the 13th of 2012, my husband sent me a message. I had prayed before I signed up for Christian Mingle, and I was like, Lord, if this is your will, then send whoever it is that you intend for me to be with, send him. Now, I remind you, a while before, I had said to my mama, it's going to take a special man to help me raise Simeon, but I don't know if he exists. And that didn't mean that I was doubting the Lord. I just, from what I had been going through and what I had lived through, I didn't know that he existed. I really did not know. So my husband, my now husband, sent me a message and said, I would like to take you out. And I was like, no, you don't. He sent me another message and he said, I really would like to take you out. Again, I said, nope, no, you do not. My mama said to me, show me a picture of the guys who are trying to talk to you. And I showed her pictures, and she was like, well, he has a kind face, and he looks like he'd be very good to you. And I said to her then, Mama, I don't think so, because he was 20 years older than me. And she said, your great-granddaddy was 25 years older than your great-grandmama, and they were together till they died, till the day they died, and it worked. So it can work. Don't doubt it. It can. So I gave him my phone number. That first night, we talked on the phone till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I felt like I had known him forever. He came to see me at work, and at that time, I was working in Marion doing psych assessments and substance abuse assessments in the hospital. So he met me, took me out to dinner. He kissed me, and I said, I'll never let him go, and I haven't, and he's not letting me go. That next week, I took my profile down off of Christian Mingle. He took his profile down. We dated. No, we didn't date. We courted. He courted me, and he's always said that because he said that from the time that he kissed me, he knew he wanted to marry me. But he didn't want to tell me then because he felt like he was going to run me off. And I told him, yeah, if you had told me then, you probably would have run me off because I would have thought, there's no way. Even though I felt like I wanted to be with him. If he had said that to me, though, that would have really been a problem. So we moved. I picked up my children, and we moved April of 2014. He asked me to marry him April of 2015. We got married. Nope, we built a house April the 5th and moved in it April the 5th of 2016 and got married October the 29th of 2016. So we did a whole lot in the time that I moved here. And around September 2017, well, a little bit before that, I said I wanted to go back to school, that I was ready to get my master's. And he had said to me that no matter what, he would love and support me, and even if something happened to Simeon, he would still be there, and I wouldn't have to stop like I had done in the past. I would still be able to continue finishing school to get my master's to be the therapist that I always wanted to be. So mind you, through all of these ups and downs and the turns and the highs and the lows, I had still been working with kids. I was a program director. I worked in Forest City, North Carolina for a little while. I worked at RHA. I was a little bit of everywhere. And I loved everything I did, but I had gone as far as I could go with just an undergraduate degree. And I had always desired to have a master's. I'm the first generation in my family to get and have a graduate degree. Nobody else has done it. I won't be the last, but I am the first. And I decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So started school. Started my master's journey in September of 2017. Simeon had to have emergency brain surgery October 2018 because his shunt broke off of his head. And I had told the doctor, my child is not right. I know what he looks like when he's happy, and he's happy, but he's not himself. The neurosurgeon's MP told me, oh, well, he's fine. He looks like he's okay. And I told her, I don't care what you say. I want an MRI, and I want it done now. So we get the MRI. She calls me weeks later and says, how fast can you get him here? I said, oh, no, I thought you said there was nothing wrong. She said, the shunt broke off, and it's embedded in his brain, and the drain is just laying down in his stomach. So Simeon had to have emergency brain surgery. I take him and Naya. We go to Asheville. We come back to Asheville. I have my computer. I am sitting. We are in Simeon's room. He has been prepped for surgery. I am still sitting there doing my classwork because I had made this promise that I just wasn't going to stop, that if I had to keep going, I would. My husband met us that night because he had some work he had to finish. He came. We all spent the night in the hospital room with Simeon. He had his brain surgery. We got to come back home. I finished school. I kept going. I got my master's August of 2019. So it took me almost 2 years, a month shy of 2 years. I then got my provisional license because, and I don't know if everybody knows this, but when you get an MSW, you have to get an associate license with the North Carolina Social Work Board. And what that means is that you've been to school, you have done the requirements, and now you can register with the board, and they will let you practice for at least 2 years. It can't be less than 2 years, and you have to have 3,000 hours of clinical service as well as 100 hours of clinical supervision. So I got my license November the 8th of 2019. I didn't find a job to start working until February of 2020, and I started working at Broughton Hospital on their ITP unit, which is incapable to proceed with the male. So if anybody knows anything about that, that means that I was working with people who had been accused but not convicted of murder. There were some who shoplifting, stealing, whatever you want to call it, running from the police, all kinds of things. And then people say, well, were you afraid of them? No, I wasn't afraid of them because they weren't trying to hurt me. And they were there because they were not mentally stable. And that meant that along with myself as a social worker and the doctor, we had to help them navigate what their new normal may be and also get them back to a place where they could stand for their charges, where they could put on their defense for their charges. So I worked there until June of 2021, because I got COVID, and so I was out of work for a while. So that kind of set me back. I should have been finished getting my clinical hours by February of 2021. It didn't happen that way. I lost quite a bit of time. And then I left there and I went and started back working with kids. I did intensive in home for a while. And it was okay, but I was in and out of homes, and that was a lot. And I have really bad asthma, and I'm allergic to everything that blooms from January to December. And my doctor really didn't want me in homes and houses that he couldn't control the environment. So that was bad. So I got COVID again. And then when I got ready to go back to work, my pulmonologist said, I will not release you to go back into homes. You can work from home. You can do therapy via Zoom. I will let that go on, and then we'll figure out where we're going to go from there. So my then supervisor told me that I had until January 17th to let her know, no, June 17th, to let her know if I was coming back to work. And if my doctor wouldn't release me by then, that she would, I was welcome to work in my job until they found somebody else, but they were going to post my job and look for somebody else. But I could work in it until they found somebody. I think I spent the next few weeks moping around the house because I could not believe that after what I had done and what I had given that this is how I was being treated. And God said to me, are you going to lay down and take it or are you going to stand up and do something about it? So I kept going, and then one night my husband said to me, baby, are you going to lay down and take it or are you going to get up and do something about it? So let me tell you this. God never gives anybody else a confirmation for your life. He gives it to you, and when they come and say it to you again, it is a mere confirmation for what God has already told you. I learned that from Reverend Avery. So when he said that to me, I said, okay, God, I hear you. So that night we went to bed. I decided to start to apply for jobs, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was filling out jobs on Indeed. And the next morning, my husband said, babe, what were you doing in the middle of the night? I said, oh, I was filling out job applications. And he just kind of looked at me. He said, okay, so you decided that you were going to stand up and do something about it. I said, yep, yes, I did. Yes. So I get a phone call. No, I get an email from the vice president of Iredell Hospital in Statesville. And he asked me if I would be interested in, because I had filled out the application, would I be interested in interviewing for the position of a licensed clinical social worker? And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. I had an interview with him, and he asked me some questions. I answered. He asked me, you know, about my background. He said, so what are you looking for? When are you looking to start? And I said, as soon as possible, what's up? He said, well, you need to meet the then, who I now work with, the psychiatrist, as well as the other social worker and the office manager. They would like to meet you. They can meet Wednesday at 8. If you are interested, and you can come then. So I did. I went. I met all of them. I also met the office manager, the practice manager, who manages several practices. And so when I sat down with the psychiatrist, she asked me some questions. She was like, I really love your resume. And then at the end, she said, I really hope that you will take this job if it's offered to you. And I was like, okay, we'll see about that. Then I had said a few words to our office manager, and then I went back and talked to the practice manager. And when I sat down with her, it wasn't an interview. It was just, so how are you doing? You look really good on paper. You look even better in person. She took me around. She took me downstairs to where they have what is called rat cards. So everybody's got a card, and there was an empty spot. And she said, and that is where your card is going to go. And she introduced me to her counterpart, and she said, this is our new LCSW. Now, mind you, they still had another lady to interview, okay? And I said, oh, okay. She said, we have one more person to interview tomorrow, but this job is yours. You should be here. That next week was the 4th of July. So I didn't hear from him until, like, Thursday. But on Wednesday night, standing at the island in our kitchen, and God said to me, you need to go ahead. And I was like, I haven't even heard from him. This is just, came home my husband. I said, if it's going to fall the way that they're talking, they really want to offer me this job. But I really don't think so because, you know, I get excited in the past and it doesn't work out. So my friend that I went to MSW school with called me Thursday after I had my clinical supervision. And I told my clinical supervisor, I don't know if I have this job yet, but I'm getting ready to draft my resignation letter, and I'm either turning it in Thursday or Friday. It was Thursday then. I'm either turning it in later today or tomorrow. And she said, okay. So my friend that I went to school with called me, and she said, God told me to tell you that you need to go ahead and step out on faith and draft your resignation letter. And I was like, okay, God, I hear you. That's two. So I started writing it, and as I started writing it, the vice president called me and said, I would like to formally offer you the job as the LCSW.
And I was like, really? He said, yes. So I finished writing my resignation letter. I turned it in. They act like they didn't get it. Nobody ever said anything. It was never, what can we do to keep you? Why are you leaving? It was nothing. They act like they just didn't know. And that I was, my last day was August the 8th. And so then I wasn't supposed to start at the hospital until September. I get a call back from the office manager, from the big manager, and said, how much time did you give your job? Because the other LCSW is leaving and we really need you like on the 15th. We need you to start the 15th. And I said, oh, my last day is on the 8th, so I can start on the 15th. And she was like, look at God. Didn't he work that out? And mind you, the whole interview that I was talking to her, we were talking about God. That was the conversation that we were having about how amazing God is, how he moves, how he opened up the door, that they had just posted the position, and I applied for it. And next thing you know, it was mine. So fast forward to me finishing my hours because I only had about a month and a half left to finish of my clinical hours. And I could take my test, I could sit for my state boards, and I would become fully licensed if I passed the test. And so, take before the holidays, I intended to be fully licensed by November of 2022. But when sending off my paperwork to the board and them sending my paperwork back to tell me that I could go ahead and sit for the test, the email got deleted from my email several times. They used to send you a letter, so I've heard. They didn't send me a letter. They didn't mail it. They sent it to my email, and my email flagged it as spam and deleted it several times. So I was calling. My clinical supervisor was calling, and it wasn't until December the 7th that they said, that she finally sent it to me again and said, oh, I sent this to you October 7th. I was like, okay, fine. I couldn't find a date. From December 7th, I couldn't get a date to take my test until February the 13th. And in studying and talking to my clinical supervisor, she had said, Monday's a better day. You don't want to take the test on Friday because you'll be tired. Think about what you feel like when you get to Friday now. I said, I'm exhausted. She said, yep, so you don't want to take a test on Friday. So I finally found a Monday, but that was several months away. And fast forward to me sitting outside the testing center and talking to my godmother. And I don't know how many of you listeners know who Vernell Wildew is, but so my mom sings. She's a deacon at Hill Street Baptist Church. She is anointed. She is my everything. So she said, I called her and I said, Mama, I'm sitting here, but I need you to go ahead and pray before I go to take this test. And she said, okay, you ready? I said, yep, I'm ready. Mind you, at any momentous time in my life, I call my mama so she can pray over me. If I'm not okay, I call my mama so she can pray over me. If I'm not all right, I go lay in her arms so that she can hold me so that I know that I'm okay and it's going to be okay. And whatever she says to me, I know that it is what it is. So I said, I'm ready. Let's go. She said, when God created you and put you in your mama's womb all those years ago, he knew that you would be in this place at this time. You already have what it takes to be a therapist and to be a licensed social worker. This is merely a formality. You just have to have this piece of paper to continue to do the thing that you've already been doing. So you need to know that you've got it. God's already ordained it, and it's going to be okay. Now go take the test and kick butt. So I go take the test. I go in. You have to put all your stuff in the locker. I had to use the bathroom several times. I hadn't eaten anything. I didn't drink anything because I was very anxious. But after she prayed, I was fine. But I still had to keep. I went to the bathroom twice. So I finished the test, and they let you take the picture before you take the test. So in my picture, if anybody saw it on Facebook, I was smiling because I knew that I was going to pass this test. I knew. So I get finished. The lady hands me the paper, but she turns it over. They don't hand it to you face up. She turned it over. And I looked at it, and it said pass, and I started screaming in the place. Yep, in the testing place where I was supposed to be quiet, I was screaming because I had passed. And then she was like, are you okay? I was like, I passed. She was like, okay. And then I started to leave. Mind you, my wallet is in the locker.
So is my keys, my phone, everything. I told her, she was like, sweetie, you forgot your stuff. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have got very far. And then I would have had to come back. So I went and I called my husband. And he said, I thought you must have failed because I thought you were going to call me a long time ago. I said, the test is 4 hours. I didn't start to 12. It's 3 now. He was like, oh, okay. Did you pass? Yes, I passed. Then I called my mom and I told her. She said, I thought you were going to call me and pretend like you failed. I said, nope, there is no pretending that I failed because I didn't. So after you pass the test, you still have to send off more paperwork. You have to pay more money, and they eventually give you your license. Now I'm going to tell you how God works. When I finally got my new number, my clinical number, it was on my grandmother's birthday, which would have been March the 24th of this year. So that means every 2 years, for as long as I keep my license, it will always be renewed on her birthday. That's how God worked that out. Now, the thing that was meant to destroy me when I was 14 years old pushed me to be who I am and to be doing what I am. And I want to talk a little bit about grief. I talk to my patients a lot about grief because I have a lot of patients who have been through something and they've lost somebody. And when we think of grief, we think that is just death. It's not. Sometimes you are grieving a relationship. Sometimes you are grieving a job, a friendship. It doesn't matter. So you could have two people who have both experienced the same thing. They could be the same age. One lost her husband, another lost her husband. They will not respond to it the same way. One may be okay, and one may feel like they are falling apart. And it is very insensitive for somebody to say to you when you are in the middle of grief, oh, I understand how you feel. No, you don't. You have no idea how I feel. You may have lost your mama too, like I lost mine. But what my mama meant to you may not necessarily be what your mama means to you. And if it's a husband, what somebody's husband meant to them doesn't mean that that is true for another person. So I did not understand what grief did to my grandmother till I started being a therapist, till I started really looking at things and seeing things from the eyes of my patients. And from a standpoint of, it's like God just spoke to me one day and said, you don't know what it did to her. You don't know how it broke her. So the person that I knew and loved became somebody else, but it was because of the hurt that she experienced and how she had to bury two of her children. And I know that my grandmother really didn't think that I had killed my mama because I hadn't. I didn't give my mama any trouble, and I didn't give my grandmama any trouble. But she was hurt, and she had to take it out on somebody. She didn't have to, but she chose to take it out on somebody, and it happened to be me. Now, I will tell you, who I am in the Lord has held me up through all that I have been through. My life hadn't been easy. It has by no means been easy. But everything that I have gone through has been worth it. And so when I sit down and I talk to my patients every morning before I start my day, I tell the Lord, use me. Use even me, Lord. Let me be a vessel and give me the words to say to these your people. And let everybody who was meant to be here today, let them come and give me the words to say to them. I have had patients say to me, did you know that you were going to tell me that was what was really going on with me when I sat down with you? And the truth of the matter is, I don't, had no idea. And I have told some of them, because some of them, you know and love the Lord and are okay with it, that it's God. But they're the ones that don't know, don't love the Lord, let you know that that is not what they want to do. They don't want to talk about that. They aren't spiritual. And that's fine, too, but I still want them to see God's light in me. And I approach everything I do with that in mind. Use me, Lord. All I want to do, me being a therapist is my ministry. What I am is not a therapist. It's not what I am. It's who I am. It is who God specifically created me to be a blessing to somebody who is lost, who doesn't know which way to go, who does need to hear from him. And I've told several of my patients, because I had one of my patients tell me, you know, God really doesn't care about the small details. And I said, that's a lie. Because he loves you, he is concerned about the things that concern you, even the smallest things. If it bothers you and it concerns you, he cares, because that's who God is. It's who he is to me. It's who he is to you. It's just who he is. And he is not a man that he would lie, and he cannot fail. And I will tell you that through everything that I have been through, he has never failed. And I did have somebody tell me, if my child had gone through what your child went through, I am not so sure that I would continue to be in the Lord what you are. But my response is, God still has his hand on Simeon. There are 5 Simeons in the Bible, and he is named after the prophet that God promised he would see Jesus before he died. And when they brought him into the temple, he immediately recognized him as the Messiah. That is the Simeon that he is named after. So I know that God has his hand on him. My child is a blessing. Both of my children are blessings. I am a blessed wife. I am a blessed mother. I am a blessed daughter. I am just blessed. God has been good to me, and I can't complain. I love what I do. I love being able to help people figure out that, number one, you can have Jesus and a therapist. We in the black church, the black community, like to say, if you have problems, you need to pray about it. And if you pray about it and it doesn't get better, or if it's not okay, then you didn't pray hard enough, and you need to go back and you need to pray harder. That is not true. If God could ordain a cardiologist, if he could make a pulmonologist, if he could make neurologist, now as his hand not own the psychiatrist who prescribes the medication that you have to have. Why is his hand not on the therapist that you have to talk to tell your problems to, that guides you to help you figure out and navigate your new normal? And figure out, okay, the things and the way that I respond is a direct correlation to the things that I went through as a child. If God can do all of that, is he not also in the details of mental health? He is. I'm here to tell you that he is. You can't have Jesus and a therapist. And we have to stop telling people in the church, and period, don't tell anybody your problems. If you are not okay, just go pray. You need somebody to talk to. You have to have. I tell you, it's not your friends, because they may tell you they're going to keep the secret, but they won't. And if they get pissed off at you, everybody and their grandmama's going to know exactly what you went through, what you did, and how you did it. Now, I am bound by confidentiality. I hold all secrets. I also hold my friends' secrets. And if you tell me, forget it, don't tell nobody. If you tell me, don't tell nobody, you need to understand that I have forgotten it. Now, it may come out later, and I'll be looking like, I think I knew that, but I don't say anything. And the truth of the matter is, I did know it, but I didn't tell nobody, because that's who I am. I am a secret keeper. You have to have somebody who will guide you and help you figure out and navigate what it is that you are going through. Grief is real. Depression is real. Do you know how many black people have taken their lives because they are depressed? But they feel like they can't talk to anybody, because we say you just need to pray about it. Not okay. And I let my children know, especially my daughter, I'm not your therapist, I'm your mama, but if you are not okay, you need to let me know that you are not okay. And that whole you could pray about it, and you need to go pray harder, and medicine is not of the Lord, and all this other stuff, it's bull. If what you need is some medicine, we will find you somebody who will give you what you need. If what you need is a therapist, your mama will find you one. But we are not. I am not raising the next generation to believe that you don't get to talk to somebody and then you are not okay. And I think that's safe.
Amen. Amen.
Well. Ooh, you didn't say ooh.
Ooh. I did. I heard him.
Did you hear him say ooh?
That was me. That was me. Amen.
That was you. All right. So we are going to open up some mics. So anyone have anything they want to say to Ms. Shakita? Let's start up here. All right. Oh, 336, your mic is open. We hear you. Go ahead.
The question I wanted to ask was, are you dealing in mental illness? When you dealing with mental illness, do you ever bring any of it home? Like, if you can get into a series?
Wait, say that again.
I was asking you a question. I was asking you about mental illness, and I was asking you, do you ever bring any of it home? Like, when you talk to somebody a limit of time, you know, sometimes they kind of linger on you. Do you ever bring it home?
No, I don't now. And I will tell you that when I first started in this business, there were things that did haunt me. There were things that did come home and rest in my mind. But I won't say that I think that through the Lord, being called and being in God's hands and him having his hand on me, I get to leave it at work. When I'm done and I have written that note, that's where it stays.
All right,
thank you.
Oh, look who we have. 828, your mic is open. Hello there.
Am I 828?
You are the 828, yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Curly Curly.
What's up, baby girl? It's okay.
I just wanted to thank the guest speaker as a daughter raised by a grandmother to another daughter raised by a grandmother. I applaud your strength, your humility and your tenacity and your faith in God to keep on keeping on. And I'm going to keep you in prayer. And I know that you have so much more to offer and so many more gifts to there, particularly in the Black community. And I'm so appreciative of that last thing that you said around, you know, that it's not just praying, that sometimes we do need medicine, sometimes we do need therapy and counselors, and it's important, particularly in this day and age, that our young people understand that that's not taboo, that it doesn't make you crazy, but it can help make you whole. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you. I will take those prayers because I need them.
Everyone, that was Ms. Libby Cowles, one of our former guests. I don't know if Shakita, if you knew that's who that was or not.
Is that Ms. Libby? Oh, I
that is
Ms.
Libby.
Libby.
Yeah. Yes, that was Ms. Libby. Thank you so much for coming and supporting. We appreciate you, ma'am. Let's go back up here. Wait a minute. All right, Evangelist Clayton, I believe that number is you.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Okay. Will you open, baby doll? Miss Sheila? Okay, we'll come back to you. 803, your mic is open. Okay, 850, your mic is open. Okay, sure, we'll keep going. 205, your mic is open.
I'm sorry, my phone was on mute itself.
Go ahead.
This is Two-Piece. I just want to thank her for coming on the show and sharing the information. It really blessed us, and appreciate you to the fullest. And just keep in touch on our page with updates and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much for that, sir.
What's your name?
Evangeline.
I keep hearing it saying, I'm muted. To run into the blessings that God has bestowed upon me, and just to hear you, amen. And being young and taking all kind of meds, you know, attention deficit hypersyndrome and all of this type of stuff that they want to give the names to and so forth. But really and truly just being disturbed and really truly didn't feel the love. I felt rejected, you know, and being raised by my grandmother, being the Christian values that my grandmother raised within me, the value, because I said then and I said continually, I've always wanted to be like my grandmother. And I didn't understand the repercussion of what my grandmother was going through, because people were sending for my grandmother for all walks of life to come and pray for them, and to she would be with them until they get well, and, you know, she was just a traveling missionary evangelist on a mission for the Lord. But I'm so grateful for you tonight. I'm grateful for what you're doing in not only our community, but in every community that has a cause, has an issue, has some things that you're dealing with under level that people can see the outside, but they don't know what you're facing on the inside, you know, in the battle that you have to fight. I'm so grateful that you're standing. I'm so grateful that you gave your husband an opportunity and a chance, because that's something I couldn't see for anything, because I had so much bitter, so much anger, so much hate, so much animosity. Didn't know what love was. I had to redefine who I was as an individual to find out who love was. And I didn't let my past define my purpose for my future, to keep on keeping on. But I'm so grateful for the work that you do. And I'm so grateful now that then I couldn't see what the counselors or the representation that was trying to help me to push through my mental things that I was facing. Just to hear you tonight and to know you didn't give up. You didn't throw in the towel in spite of the situation, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of you're still here today to help others just like me, just like our little children, our babies. You know, our babies, and sometimes it's just undercover things that have been on, that take a leech onto us and holds us in a place to block us, to block our mind mentally, physically, psychologically, and emotionally. But I'm grateful to hear your story tonight. You have really, really, really spoke something into me tonight. Amen. That was you, Evangelist Clayton. It was you. But look at you now, and look what God has brought you from. And look at the blessing. Just look, the songwriter says, just look at the blessing that the Lord has brought into your horizon. And I'm so grateful for you tonight. And I just continue to ask the Lord to continue to bless you even the more, that you continue to persevere and press your way through. Continue to press, because in this time, it's a pressing time. But in your pressing is your blessing. May the love of Christ continue to bless you even more, daughter. You continue to hold fast to God's unchanging hand. And don't you dare let go. Don't you dare let go what you put a grip in it. Don't hang, but you hold. You can hold. There's a knot that you can hold on to that can continue to help you to persevere and press your way through. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for helping
Thank
me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for helping lining me up. And I appreciate you so much. God bless you, and God bless your steps in ordering. Wherever that you go, that you speak and that you say something that will be positive to even the little one and even to the older one, that sometimes the older one don't want to face the beat,
that there's an issue, there's an underlying issue, and you need somebody else other than just yourself. And you know God got you, but God gave us you all for a reason, and I'm so grateful for that. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too.
Thank you. Your mic is open.
I just want to say, wow. Hey, lady. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can. I just want to say, wow. I never knew you was going through so much. Because you always had a smile on your face. And even to this day, you still have a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Raising my two little cousins, you still had that smile on your face. And you strong, and you keep being strong.
Amen.
Thank you. I will. You too. You know I'm proud of you.
Because I never knew you was going through things like that, because you was under me. So when I seen you, you was always smiling. And I thought you had the best life, that you was just so happy.
You got
the
smile.
But like
the
they say, you can't.
Got a whole lot going on sometimes.
That's it.
And I never knew that till tonight. But you keep being strong. And I keep sending my prayers your way.
Amen.
And I will keep sending mine yours. And I owe you a dinner or a lunch, and we're going to make it happen.
Then there it is.
Amen. There it is.
That's what we do around these hip parts. Make these connections.
You know, I love a chip.
When y'all go to church, make sure y'all let me know.
Listen, you can join us.
It's amazing.
Oh, I'm coming. You know I'm coming.
Amen. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. I heard what you said. You never knew, because she always kept a smile on her face. You know, and you can't, because you have to smile in order not to see the frown or to see the ups and downs in your life. You don't know what a person is going through. That's why the old book tells us you can't judge the book by its cover. You just don't know. You get to the underlying of it, and that's what makes it all worthwhile, because can't nobody see it, and then you try to, you keep it covered so can't nobody see the pain, the underlying pain, the silent cries that's crying on the inside. And I'm grateful that we can cry now. I'm grateful now that we can open up. I'm grateful now that we can talk. And we can tell our story now. I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
How about we give everybody a moment and pay a couple of bills? I just got this feeling it's not too far away from us.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This is your moment in Black history where we highlight our women in history. The YWCA was the only place in Asheville willing to host an integrated audience for Eleanor Roosevelt in 1956. She spoke to an overflow crowd of over 800 at 13 Grove Street. Her subject was United Nations. Surely, in the light of history, it is more intelligent to hope rather than to fear, to try rather than not try. For one thing we know beyond all doubt, nothing was ever accomplished by a person who said it can't be done. So then we thought about, well, a Negro executive director was virtually unheard of. There was only one in the whole United States, and that was in Buffalo, New York. Could it be possible to have the second one right here in the South, in Asheville? Yes, it was. Thelma Caldwell was the first YWCA African-American director in the South and second in the nation. Tonight, we also highlight our speaker, Ms. Libby Cowles, who also served as CEO of the YWCA of Asheville. This is the Queen from the Six Eyes Radio Network with AJ and Esquire and the Queen's Court, Women in History.
I'm good, huh? You say.
When
you
I
say.
Tell you guys that God is, and I said out there,
and when I heard her name, I was like, well, oh, I know she's not the speaker. I know they'll forgive me. But I said, why did I, where do I remember that? I know where I remember that name from.
Oh, my God. See, Miss Baby, we love you. See?
And I love you.
And you
I
never
promise,
know when you
I
call Six Eyes Radio Network
on,
what you just
yes.
might hear.
I promise. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything to him about you being on here or any. I didn't know he was going to do that. Nothing. That was all God.
I didn't know she was going to be in here. When I heard her name, I was like, God is talking to me again.
Amen.
So, see, we got Black history all the time, constantly in the mm-hmm. making. Wow.
Yeah.
God is amazing. Mm, on so
yes,
many different
is.
Levels. So many different levels.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just personally want, once again, would like to say thank you to Ms. Shakita. Like I said in the beginning, you have given everybody here a testimony, and I know that there's everything that you said tonight, something from that is going to be taken by the audience, people who have been listening all over America. And so I appreciate you for that, but also for the gift of reassurance that you gave me tonight. I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate that.
Amen.
You are so welcome.
Amen.
And I just want to say to you, you know, I love you. You know, you,
yes,
your family always have been, always will be. You can't change that. And you, again, you talked about, and you talked about Simeon a lot, but we can't leave out Naya. We can't leave her out. All the troubles and issues that she had going on also. Their baby's in college now, so I'm so proud of her, because there was times in after school I wanted to beat her, but that's okay.
I'm sure. She got a full scholarship to High Point University.
Exactly. So she overcame all her adversaries, and she is doing it, and I'm so proud of her. But she got that from you. She got that from you. That strive and that determination that I can do it from you. So with that, on behalf of the Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and the Squire and the Queen's Court, we say thank you so much for being transparent, for sharing your ugly truth, for just being who you are and allowing God to continue to use you. That somebody somewhere said, hey, I can do that too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, I can make this work. Hey, I can
be
do
okay.
this. So thank you so much. We definitely appreciate
you.
Come back anytime. We love you. You're part of the family now. You can go back and check this out. Call in anytime, and you're awesome. Keep up the good work. And see, that's what you
I
get.
Will.
You should tell that man, see what happened? When you be obedient, see, look where you're at now. See that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That
and he is very good to me.
and good to
so
my
tell,
baby.
We said thank you for that.
He loves
us all. Thank you for that.
Amen. I will tell him. I will.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God.
So we do around this time before we get up out of here. God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for checking, coming, hanging out with us tonight. Remember, next week will be the Queen's Court. That's going to be a great show. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks after that, a week after that, on the second Friday, whoop, whoop, will be the first anniversary of AJ and the Squad. Yay! That will be our 1 year anniversary. That will be Mother's Day. That will be my birthday weekend. So, hey, we're asking all our old guests to come through, spend some time with us, come through, say hello to us, post stuff on the Facebook pages. Just come hang out. Just come celebrate with us because we got a lot going on those first couple of weeks. And then some. Look for AJ and the Squad to tune it up a little bit. You never know what we're going to pull out the track. So, with that being said, we say thank you all. We hope you all have a wonderful night. Be careful if you're going home. Don't forget, don't text and drive, and keep them seatbelts on.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't drive.
And don't forget tomorrow, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, kicking it with Six and the Crew, DJ ATL, our own Pride and Joy, and, of course, Queen Nicole and Queen Nicole. Make sure you tune in for the greatest music and entertainment and all that good stuff. Make sure you check them out every Saturday, 11:30 p.m. on the Six Hours Radio Network.
Network.
Good night, everyone.
Thank
good night,
you, everybody.
Good
night.
Good night.
See you next week for the Queen's Court.
Yay.
Queen's Court.
You're listening to AJ and the Squad, along with the Queen's Court here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You cannot imagine the pain, the trial,
the pain, the trial God has given.
You don't know
my story. You don't know the day he came.
I was at my lowest.
He promised
he
would never.
deliverance.
And the
what I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody to know my
story.
Even
though you're
can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony. Bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor.
God, thank you for your mercy. And you love me. Life and favor.
Life and favor.
Oh, how wondrous.
Oh, how wondrous.
God, it's my story.
Life
and favor.
Upon me.
They gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God brought me out.
All the things I've gone.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we sing it up?
I'm delivered.
Here
is my story.
Life in Favor by John P. Keith and Friends.
Thank you, baby. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.